Have something encouraging for you tonight. Now, some of you are ready for something discouraging, right? Not in these times, but it is. It's encouraging. I was going through the Word looking for, you know, just reading and asking the Lord, Lord, what should I talk about? What should I talk about? And I could only read 6 verses over and over again. So guess what? You get 6 verses. But they're an encouraging 6 verses. So our core text of Scripture is going to be in Psalm 139. If you turn there with me. I'm going to call this, O Lord, You Know. O Lord, You Know. Psalm 139. As you're turning there, I'm going to ask the Lord just to help me and give me grace and give me an anointing. Lord Jesus, I come and God, we just break open Your Word together as a church body and as a family. God, in Jesus' name, just empty myself and ask You to fill me. Give me the words to speak. Let them be Your words and let Your Word do the work. Because Your Word's powerful. God, even as I ask for an anointing, Your Word is anointed. Your very Word is anointed. God, the Bible is anointed. It is powerful. You don't need to pray for anointing upon the Word of God. It is anointed. And Father, I ask You to speak it to the hearts of the people just as You spoke it to me. And let us be encouraged in discouraging times. And through discouraging circumstances, let Your Word go deep, planted deep, and let it grow strong. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. As you're in Psalm 139, I'm just going to read it. Verse 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high. I cannot attain it. It's easy to think of the Lord as all-powerful but distant. All-powerful, all-might, but distant, far removed from me. It's easy to think of Him as so mighty He can cast mountains into the sea, but I'm far removed from Him. He's the only blessed potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, but it's easy to think of yourself just as a peon in the kingdom He rules. So many that are truly Christians see Jesus Christ exalted as a warrior for them, but a ready soldier to come against them. Some find peace in the fact that our Creator is an observer of all, and some do not find peace in that. I think many, many feel threatened and fearful to be exposed due to His omnipotent God with roving eyes. In 1 Peter 3:12 says, For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord's face is against those who do evil. Sometimes we emphasize the second part, but His face is against those who do evil. And in my Christian walk, I always emphasize the first part of this verse, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I always thought the second part was just a nice addition, but the wages of sin is death. Sometimes we have a skewed view of the Lord. I did. I had a real, I had a hard time bleeding all the bad blood out and spending time with the Lord and seeing Him as austere and seeing Him as hard and, you know, a taskmaster. This is a God that some fear, some do not, but all should. This God that some fear has a side full of grace, but there's a perfect balance. I'm just laying a foundation. In Proverbs it says that false balances or uneven balances are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. I've always applied that verse about God being a balance as the character of the Lord. You know? Because everybody loves to say that God's love. You talk to anybody on the street, God's love, love is God, you know, this gooey ick, you know, that's God, you know. That's what everybody thinks of God. But my Bible says an unbalanced weight is abomination. God is perfectly balanced. Perfect. His justice is just the same amount as His mercy. He is perfect in all measures, in all ways, in all characteristics, in all personality. You will not find flaw. When we preach love, 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 grace from a pulpit, it's wrong. And when we preach wrath and judgment and doom and persecution and the wages of sin is death all the time from a pulpit, it's wrong. He is a balanced God, perfectly balanced. Perfectly balanced. And as Christians, we tend to lean towards one or the other. I always lean towards one or the other. You know, today I'm feeling like I need some grace, so God's full of grace today. And, you know, I was like, Lord, it's funny how you have me say that right before I'm going to preach a sermon about grace. But, you know, it's a perfect balance. So next week I'll preach on judgment, you know. And just kidding. But those first six verses in Psalm 139, I just want to read them again. So look down at your Bible and follow along. I'm not making it up. Read along with me. Not out loud. O Lord, You search me, know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before. You've laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. In these scriptures, God says He knows. He understands. He searches you. He feels for you. He watches you. He hears you. And obviously, He loves you more than we can know in order to do these things for you and to be this obvious in your life. Also, these scriptures just read of a God that desires you, wants you, wants you. Now, as we read David, and he says me, and he says I, and he says my. And when I talk about it, I want you to put your name there, okay? Because all Scripture was written for you, right? It's written for you and me. It was for me. God put this book here for me. So I could learn and I could grow. It's anointed, right? So whenever David says, I, me, or my, he's talking to you. Say me. Say, God wants me. He wants you. God doesn't have a physical heart. There's an emptiness, or for lack of better terms, all I can use is the English language, but God wants you in particular. You individually. I can't take your spot. I can't take your spot. I can't do what God has for you. God searches you and loves you and wants you. He knows what you need. He wants to fill you and give you good things, right? He doesn't desire you to just come to Him in a group or as a church family. He wants you to come to Him personally, just you. Just me. Come before Him. Because He searches me. He knows me. Jesus says, not to be like the Gentiles. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Before it comes off your tongue, when God said, let there be light, He knew what I was going to ask Him for yesterday. Therefore, I say to you, don't be anxious for your life, what you'll eat or drink, or your body or clothes. Behold the birds of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, or gather into barns, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much better than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to your stature, $1 to your bank account, or a new car in your driveway? Why are you anxious about clothing? Gap. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, neither do they spin. But I say to you, in Solomon, all of his glory, one of the richest men in all the world, wasn't arrayed like one of these little things that doesn't worry. Let's go to the first verse. I'm going to have to go by my notes because I did this and I was like, holy catfish, there's 6 pages. It's good stuff, though. You'll be encouraged, I guarantee you. The first verse says, O Lord, you search me and know me. Search me and know me. Me personally. Me. That word search in the Hebrew means it penetrates deep. Penetrates like an arrow. Goes deep inside and he sees all that's inside you and he searches what he finds there. He searches deep inside and he examines to know you intimately. He searches in your heart. And when I was reading this, I was like, Lord, David used the past tense. He said, searched. But I know it's not just one time. Since you are being formed in your mother's womb, God began searching you. Understanding what you're going to think as you grew. Searching your heart. Knowing decisions you would make for Him and not for Him. Intimately aware of what was going on in your mind. Still, all the while desiring you and wanting you. Choosing you, even though he knew all that you'd do and all that you'd say. Searching. Even though most of these truths and concepts apply to believers, they apply to the lost too, don't they? Even the ones that reject him. Jesus Christ searches the rejecter too, doesn't he? Searches their hearts. Does he not know the rejecter intimately? Does he not know them? Know what they want, know what they think? For them to understand that concept, it should birth fear. But for us, it should give us hope. Peace. God searches my heart. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in my mind. The one and only true God wants to know and search you. Search me. Later in the psalm, David says, search me. Because he realizes the process is not a bad thing. He does not search just once, but he continues to. These fatherly eyes of God pierce and penetrate to the core of who you are. And he understands what he finds there, even though you do not. He forgets. He never forgets as he probes that you were purchased with the blood. And he always remembers who you are. Even as God searches and understands what he finds there, he never forgets who you belong to. That's a good thing. Because when he searches and probes in my heart and sees the things, because it's a new heart, he gave it to me. When he searches in my deepest core, my being, and sees my wants and my wishes and my desires and my yearning for him and my lack and my failures, and he searches all that out, he never forgets whose blood was shed for me and who bought me. He never forgets who I belong to. He doesn't say, ooh, this is icky, let's throw it out. He remembers who I belong to. He never, I won't say never, but he judges what he finds there. You don't know what I've been through. I've heard, if I had a nickel every time somebody said that to me, you don't know what I've been through. It's in a deep emotional cry of selfishness, but truth in the fact that those emotions they're feeling are real. Does that make sense? You don't know what I've been through. It's because you're full of pride. Nobody understands what I'm going through. It's because you're selfish. You don't understand that other people know exactly what you're going through. However, that person's crying out from emotions that are real. Those emotions and feelings that God gave them are real. And they're overwhelming at times. And God understands that. He says, you search me and you know me. He knows. Oh God, you know. Not only knows what you've endured, but he knows you. Isn't that just kind of a powerful thought? That nobody knows you like the Lord does? And there's never closed doors with you and him. There's no door, no lock you can put so tight on your heart and mind that he doesn't see all that's in there and understand. You know? And there's peace in knowing that there's things that have happened and things that I've done and experiences that I don't need to share with people but I'm content knowing He knows. And there will be things that I pray, oh God, just let it burn. Only You and me know about it. Forgive me and let it go away. There's contentment in knowing that there's a relationship there. And people, if there was a theme to this, it's that you have to understand that God wants you. God wants you. God desires you. All this whole psalm, when David writes it, it's a personal, intimate thing where God gives him this revelation that, oh Lord, You want me. Oh Lord, You understand me. Oh Lord, You watch me. You hear me. You're a part of my life, whether I want You to be or not. You comprehend all that I go through and all that I think. And it's the same for you and me. He's been doing it since time began. So for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro on all the earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. So His eyes are always moving. He's always searching. Always looking, watching you, and listening. David says in verse 2, You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. I wrote some nuggets here, so I'm going to be reading. Don't get offended. Not only does Jesus know and search you out, He's acquainted with your every move. He watches when you move and where you go. When you sit and pray, God hears. When you rise up and go to work, He's aware of it. Your most everyday movements are marked by God. Not just because you're moving or doing something on His planet, but because He actually cares about what you do. 6 billion people on the planet, give or take. And He doesn't just watch you like a policeman because you're doing something on His earth. He watches what you do because He actually cares about what you're doing. He actually wants to be involved. He's a part of your life. What's He doing now? What's she doing? She's talking to that person as if He doesn't already know. He knows. But it says right here that He does it. He's active, moving. He listens. He watches. He actually cares. Just like it's an eye that never leaves the sparrow, His eye never leaves you. I already told you the birds of the air, they don't toil, they don't spin. And we're much better than they are. Take a moment to consider the powerful King and the ruler that fills all His time constantly by being aware of you. Where you are and how you are. I mean, this is a poor example, but you know, you think about a president. Think about all he did all day is watch what you did and what you said. He constantly monitored you. That was his only job. At the time, you know, you're laying there snoring at night. He's just sitting there. Watching you. You're going to roll over. All the time, monitoring you. Excited about you. Watching you. When you rise up, is he going to have, you know, Frosted Flakes or Captain Crunch? He cares. It's not a joke because it's true. He cares. He cares about what you do. He cares about who you are. He cares about the choices you make. Intimately involved in your life. If you could just get a taste of what David did when he wrote this. David just got a revelation from the Holy Spirit about how God intimately acquainted with all his doings, with all that goes on in his heart, with everything he speaks. Amazing. That the God of all the earth, most powerful God, true God, there's nothing so insignificant that escapes His eyes in your life. You may have the wrong concept. You may think that God's looking over your shoulder. It's micromanagement. But God watches because He loves you. He's glad to see what you're doing, despite the fact He already knows what you're going to do. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you. With joy, you will rest in His love. He will joy over you with singing. It says He understands your thought afar off. Before you think it, He knows it altogether. Before I comprehend what I'm going to say in my next sentence, before my mind puts it together, before my neurons and electrons can go up and down my spinal cord and tell my brain what to say, He already knows what I'm going to say. He already knows it. Not only does He know it, He said He's acquainted with it. He's already experienced it. He's already been there, seen it happen. Be encouraged. All I could read and study was these six verses. And I was like, oh God, why? Why, what is man that you're mindful of him? What is it about your creation? Loves it. Bankrupt heaven for it. Not only can he hear your words before it's spoken, but the answer was already in his heart waiting for you before you even said it. Even you and me don't understand the turmoil or the confusion or the times I go through my mind. I have hard situations or tragedies. And he says that he already understands it. He understands the confusion in my mind. He understands the turmoil. He understands that I can't figure something out. He understands it. He already knows the solution. He's acquainted with that. He was touched with everything we'll experience. Go to verse 3. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Now in the New King James it says, you comprehend my path. Other versions say, you compasseth my path, you sift my path. And the correct word is sift. It's to winnow. You know, as somebody would, you know, separate grain. And I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. Literally, he's sifting your path. The bad, the good. As you walk along the path of Christianity, the path you're walking for the Lord, there's no unbalanced weights with the Lord. He's constantly sifting and changing. And you know, that word actually means to toss about or to toss to and fro. He's shaking up the things that are bad in your life and trying to get them out as you're walking on a path. And it says, and that word for path means it's a well-trodden path. It's a path that people have walked down before. It's that path of Christianity that so many have gone before us. And as you walk down it, God has constantly said, he'd perfect that which concerns me. Right? In the psalm right before it, it says, he'll perfect it. He says, he that started a good work in you will complete it till the end. And there he is sifting all the things out of your life as you walk down the path. Your heart may not even be in the right place. You may not even be zealous and desiring that God change you, but he's already made the promise that he's going to do it. And he's already sifting the stuff that shouldn't be there out of your life because he's faithful. That's his job. The Holy Ghost continues to work inside of you and continually come to him in his word and prayer. And there he is changing you every day, sifting out the bad, keeping the good as you walk along the path. It says, you sift my path. You winnow my path and my lying down. He watches you and you sleep. There you are sleeping and God's watching. You don't escape Him. You don't hide from Him. To those, it's an all-seeing eye of terror, maybe fear. To you, it should be like a best friend. That eye is always watching you. His eye is on the sparrow. I know He watches me. He winnows out all that's bad. On that path that so many have gone to glory before us, it's well traveled. He weighs what you do. He's acquainted with all your ways, it says. You know, some of us have different ways than others. God knows your ways. He never hates you for your quirks. He never thinks you're obnoxious. He loves the fact that you run to Him because you struggle with something specific to you. I have specific struggles in my life that I don't see the masses dealing with. You have them in your life too. And when you come to Him and say, oh God, I struggle in this area, or this thing's plaguing me, or there is my tongue again, you know. Oh man, it blesses His heart. You come to Him and, you know, it's something that you share. He's acquainted with all your ways. And that word acquainted with all your ways means it takes time, right? Not acquainted with you just by saying hi. Hi, how you doing? We're acquainted. Time gets to know you, understands you. He sees you throughout your whole life. He knows what makes you tick. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, you know it all together. whether it be a question, a praise, a reflection, or a complaint, He knows it all together. He knows what's going to come off my tongue, what I'm going to speak. The Word says your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And when I was reading that, I was like, your Father. Your Father. Not our Father. Not the church's Father. Your Father. Yours. David said, I, me, my, you, and me. And then Jesus says, your Father. How easy would it have been for the Lord to say, my Father in heaven knows what you have need of before you ask Him. He said, your Father. I know what my daughter needs before she asks for it. I know when she wakes up from her nap, she's thirsty. I already know that. I know she needs a new diaper. Father knows that already. Didn't need to ask me. I know. Heavenly Father, your Father. Yours. Some of the greatest prayer times, some of the greatest communions you'll ever have in the presence of the Lord are the ones you'll spend in silence. It says He knows, because there's not a word that comes off my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. In prayer, so often us relieving our hearts and speaking to the Lord and getting things off our chest, so to speak, and whining and, you know, letting out emotion and venting, oh God, I need this. Oh God, save this person. Oh Lord, help me in this area. And He knows it all together. He's acquainted not only with what you're going to say, but with how you feel about it. Touched by your emotions, touched by how you feel. What causes you pain? Understands it. I hurt for this person. I know how you feel. And I can't describe. I mean, only you know what you've done in your life. You know how you've been and who you've been and what you were like. And it says that He searches you and He knows you. He understands you. He comprehends your path. He knows the words you speak. Not because He wants to monitor you like a security system, but because He cares. Because He cares about you. Loves you. He wouldn't listen to your prayers if He didn't want to answer them. Just turn a deaf ear. I want to hear your requests again. Oh, but He listens. Here's the cry of the righteous. And this is my favorite in verse 5. You've hedged me behind and you've hedged me before and laid your hand upon me. Great peace when you think of God's hedge around you. Satan came to the Lord. Where have you been, devil? Walking around on the earth. Walking to and fro upon it. Have you considered my servant Job? He's blameless. He's upright. Boy, that guy loves me and he walks straight. And that little deceiver, liar, does he love you for nothing? Have you not put a great hedge around him? So that tells me something about God's hedge. The devil can't get inside God's hedge. Thou hast made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side. Every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and the substance of his land is increased. That word hedge means to entwine, to shut in an army formation, to make a fence around it. God's fence can't be penetrated. It's amazing protection. It's not just why you're in battle either. Listen. Listen to this. It says, you've hedged me behind and before. So the hedge of the Lord isn't just when you feel good and you're on the offensive. Not just when you go into battle and you're feeling good and you feel like, oh Lord, you know, I can fight these guys. You know, let's take them. It's when you feel, oh, Lord, I'm too tired. I can't do this. And it's when the devil says, you know, I got a special scheme. I'm going to sneak up behind this person and get them right in the back. God's hedge, it says, it's behind and it's before. So it's not only from the onslaught when I'm fighting, it's from the things I don't see coming from behind me. How many battles have waged in the heavenlies behind my back and I had no idea they happened? Because there was a hedge that went back behind where I couldn't see. God's hedge fears no sneak attacks. David Wilkerson one time said, you're under attack, but you're in no danger. I wrote that one in my Bible. You're under attack, but in no danger. And my Bible says, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you can condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. How magnificent is that hedge? And it says that God lays His hand upon you. Inside that hedge, He takes His hand, He lays it upon you. Look, go ahead and look in verse 5. You've hedged me behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Now this is powerful. How often has justice cried out for your blood? Judgment states calmly you're indebted to doom. And in that very moment, the outstretched hand with the scar on the wrist rests upon you, and shame and death and hell are made quiet. And He rests His hand upon you. The outstretched hand placed upon a man or woman makes them into something mighty. It makes them into a force to be reckoned with when that hand is laid upon you. When the hand's laid upon you, it infills you with the Holy Spirit, and somebody who is nothing becomes something. Oh Lord, You've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off, and You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before. You've laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The knowledge that God continually searches me and knows me. I have knowledge of that. The knowledge that all I do is seen by You, and You know my thoughts before I think them. God, You perfect my path and watch me as I sleep. You know and hear every single thing I say to You, and when time began, You knew what I would say. Your mighty shield surrounds me on every side, and Your hand will ever rest upon me, Almighty God. And this knowledge of all these things that You see and do for me are far beyond what I can begin to comprehend. If I lived 1,000 lives, I could never live long enough to attain to the understanding of Your love for me. How precious are Your thoughts for me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're like the sand on the seashore. The thought that You have for me, O Lord, is too wonderful. I hear the cry of David's heart and he's saying, I don't deserve it. I can't attain it. I can't attain it. I can't earn the fact that You watch me and You hear me and You know me. There's nothing I can do to deserve it. There's no acts of righteousness I can perform, no great feats to begin to deserve these 6 verses. Nothing I can do. Nothing I can say. No amount of Scripture can I read, or no many hours a day can I pray to somehow earn God knowing me and caring about me and listening to me and hearing me, comprehending me and understanding me and watching me when I stand up and watching me when I lay down and when I go to work, and knowing the words that come off my tongue before I even thought of speaking them. That knowledge is too high. I cannot attain it. I can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But praise the Lord. It was said this morning God loves you like He loves His Son. Did He not watch His Son? Did He not know everything His Son did while here on the earth? Understand His thoughts, understand what He experienced, His pain. I want to leave with you the understanding that these should be a great comfort to the believer. When me and Carolyn, before we got married, it just seemed like all hell was attacking us from within the ministry we were in. And you know, it was devilish because, you know, everything they could do to try to get my goat and press my buttons and try to tear us apart, that's what they tried to do. And I would get so upset. You know, I'm a real quiet, docile kind of guy. So I would just keep my mouth shut. It was so hard for me, you know. I'd get riled up and, you know, I'm ready for some righteous indignation, you know. I'm going to beat them to death with the word and just, you know. And, you know, God really gave me a lot of grace and it's all to His glory because I just would tell Him, you know, you understand, only you can vindicate me. Only you know what's right. And I remember one of the hardest things I ever did in my life, there was this woman that just lied about me, told just nasty lies and treated me like dirt, and she was head of the ministry. And she told a lie in front of everybody about me. And I couldn't keep my mouth shut. That's a lie. You are lying in front of all these people. You know, she breaks down and starts crying. She starts crying and everybody believes her. And I'm like, oh great, now I look like the jerk. You know? Even though I'm right. I'm totally justified. Liar! But she started crying. And this voice says to me, and you know when it's the Lord, you get up, you tell her you forgive her, and you say you're sorry, and you give her a hug. I said, oh God, I'll tell her I'm sorry, but I don't want to get up. And He said, that's what I want you to do. And in front of all those people, I got up, walked across the room, you know, lead in my shoes. I told her I was sorry, and I hugged her when she had just told bold-faced lies about me and my future wife, trying to destroy me. Oh, Lord, You've searched me, and You know me. You comprehend my path. You know, and You hedge me behind and before. And there's been many, many times at work, you know, they're just heathens. I'm so righteous. You know, and you want to say something. You want to, oh! And the Lord's just like, I know. I understand. Nobody can vindicate you like I can. I know what's in your heart. I understand what you're enduring. And for those that are going through hardship, going through hard times, struggle. You know, it just, to you that seems like life is just one ongoing struggle, one trial after the next. God knows. And this is what's so important that'll give you so much hope, is He doesn't only know and understand what you're going through, the circumstance, but He is so acquainted with the emotions you are enduring, understands how it feels, knows what it does to your mind, knows what it does to your focus and how it hurts you, experiences that pain, went through it. Most people won't understand, though they've been through circumstances that are similar. But oh, He knows. He knows. He understands. And He does because He cares. Because He loves you. You know, it's not an unbalanced weight. It's a free gift through Jesus Christ. That's why we rejoice. This is all truth. It's not unbalanced weight. God cares about you. He watches you. He listens to you. Understands what you go through. You know, the rest of that psalm is beautiful. You know, the beginning, it seems like David's just talking about what he's experienced, what the Holy Ghost has spoken to him. You know, this is how what I've seen in you, God, what I've seen about your character. And by the end of the psalm, he's like, oh, it's something that's living inside of him. And he's overwhelmed with love. And, oh God, your thoughts about me, how precious are they? You see me in the secret. You watch me when I was fasting in my mother's womb. You understand me. And then he asks him to search me. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me. Lead me. Then the cry turns around, not just stuff he's observed, but it's just a burning desire in his heart that God would continue to do it. Be encouraged. God will not fail you. God will not fail you. You know, sometimes we think something would just answer all our prayers. If I could just have this thing, or if this problem would just be alleviated, this would change, everything would be better. Everything would be better. And God just whispers to you, I know, and have I ever failed you? Never failed you. Never failed you. God loves you. I'm going to close in prayer. Don't run out. We're going to have a continuation of the service after I pray. Oh, Father, we love you, God. And your Word, it's life to us, God. It doesn't have to be presented in any particular way other than somebody that wants you to move and surrenders to you and gives you their heart. God, just let your Word go forth and encourage us and give us the understanding that your love for us is more than we can comprehend. You're with us. You know us. You can be our best friend. You should be our best friend. Understand. You experience what we experience. God, you love the sinner. You love those that reject you also, and you know them. You know them too. But how much do you desire to know those that love you, your children? God, I just thank you for your Word, and that your Word is so clear that your desire is for us and towards us. You long for us. You desire us. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your blood that never loses its power and the continuation of your work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.